Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shops. Aren't you guys so excited for today? Yes. We're going to have a wonderful show today. We are having a very special guest. We've known her for about, what, we were kind of going over it before, for about 7 years now. She's an incredible woman of God, and we're so blessed to have her in our life. And she has a very incredible story. She was actually given a 2% chance to live, which is incredible. But of course, that doesn't mean that God was finished with her. And we're going to be talking to her today about her story and how God brought her through all of that and is continuing to use her and bless other people and reach people for the Lord. Please help me welcome Debbie Shore. So Debbie, tell us about the 2% chance that the doctors had given you.
A number of years ago, I just kept getting weaker and sicker. Mm-hmm. I was gaining a lot of weight. And so I told the doctor, I feel like I'm laying on a ball. Mm-hmm. And they would look at me like, well, duh.
Yeah.
You know, a big ball of fat, you know. And I just felt like something was terribly wrong. But there was no indication of anything until mm-hmm. I started passing huge blood clots.
Oh, wow.
And when I started doing that, they ended up finding out that I had, to make a long story short, I had uterine cancer.
Oh, wow.
But the mass had gotten so large, it was about the size of a 7-month pregnancy, or they said about the size of a basketball.
Wow.
And so that created a lot of problems.
Absolutely.
Of how to get to that. A lot of times they can, you know, go inside to take care of things. And the process ended up, after they could identify what I had, I ended up being cut from hip to hip. And it was a 40-inch incision with probably 280 staples in it. And so that was
a fun time.
A little intimidating, but needless to say, you know. So when I found out I had the cancer, the doctor called me and he said, look, what you have is so far gone that I don't have the expertise to handle it. I've already talked to a team in Springfield, Missouri, but you can't go to him for 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
And so I got to sit there with all that in my head for 2 weeks, you know, and no matter what you try, I'm going to focus on you, Lord. I lift my hands up to the hills,
yes.
You know. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yes.
Your mind is on this. And so when we went to that particular doctor, my husband and I went, and he just sat there and he said, this is really a serious situation. And he said, I don't even know if I can pull you through surgery.
Wow.
He said, I don't even know if you'll make it 15 days the other side of surgery.
Right.
Because he said, what I'm going to have to do.
Probably.
Well, just the incision alone is massive. And then what they had to do to remove everything to get to the cancer, to get it out, you know, was just, you didn't even want to focus on the details of that. Chuck said, you know, what are we looking at here? And he said, probably about a 2% chance to live. And I said, well, we're not doing this today.
Wow.
And I started getting up, and everybody's like, wait a minute, we have to deal with this, you know. And I weighed about 450 some odd pounds at the time. You know, and sometimes overweight people will say, I'm full of fluid. I was really full of fluid.
Right.
Because my body was trying to
fight
that
foreign
cancer
object,
that was in there. Yeah. We made a decision. I said, well, I'll try and lose some weight. 450 pounds, if you hadn't lost it at 200 and 250 and 300, you know, it's kind of like, well, and they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go to the pool and I'm going to run 2-4 hours a day in the pool. The whole object then was to get me ready for surgery.
Right.
So that I could make it through surgery.
So you would be healthy enough to even
Correct.
Live through the surgery.
Yeah. And so I started running. I probably dropped about 50 pounds. And that's when they weighed me and I weighed 457. So I probably was closer to 500 pounds. I hate even admitting that out loud, but it's probably a true statement. And so then they got all the blood work and everything stabilized. And then I had like a 15-hour surgery.
Wow.
And they kept coming out and telling Chuck how I was doing. And they came out and they said, we have another issue. And Chuck's like, oh, my God, you know, that's what we're afraid of. They said, no, our gallbladder's full of 7 stones.
Wow.
And he said, if I don't do this while she's still on the table, I don't think I'll ever get her back in for another procedure again at all. And so they went ahead and did that. And so I think I ended up being in surgery like 17 hours.
Oh my goodness.
But I came out of it, and my big thing that I didn't want to be intubated and mm-hmm. all of that, so I wasn't. And first person I saw was Chuck right here in my face. And I was just like, huh, it's really nice to see you. You know?
I'm glad I'm
and,
still
and
here.
Then recovery began.
And you're still in your recovery phase, even though it's been so long since the surgery?
I think that because of the choices that I had made eating beforehand, mm-hmm. because of the cancer, there were so many things that went wrong. There was a time period that I had 18 things on the list, everything from hypoxia, the cancer had shoved my lungs up, I had lung issues, diabetes. I mean, you just start naming them and they just start going off, lung issues, kidney issues, things mm-hmm. like that. And it's taken a number of years for some of those things to start reversing back.
Right.
And coming back into more of a state of healthiness. And instead of 18 issues, I'm probably fighting 4 or 5 right now that are more serious. I went into AFib. I've had trouble with heart issues, and that's all kind of straightened out. In fact, even the last 2 times that I've been into the doctors, they said, you know, I thought you were chronically in AFib. And they even shocked my heart and everything while I was awake with no anesthesia, trying to get it back in rhythm. Mm-hmm. So just very, very odd things that have happened during all of that time. But the last time I was at the cardiologist, they said I wasn't in AFib, at least at that particular time.
Right.
So I don't know if that's reversing. I've reversed the diabetes through diet.
That's awesome.
And so I'm off all insulin and all the different kind of medications that were on that. And my heart is just, I'm so sensitive to chemicals, just get off drugs,
right.
you know, and do things as naturally as I can. But mm-hmm. you can't just go from A to Z.
No, you cannot.
You have to have a route of escape to try and leave what you've been in mm-hmm. to get to where you're going. And so that's taken a long time. And I don't need to tell you, like one of the recent things that I'm facing is I've fallen twice mm-hmm. and I can't get off the ground to get up. And the physical therapist helped me realize, he said, when's the last time you could just get on the floor and sit back up? And I said, gosh, probably 20 years.
Wow.
And he said, your muscles have forgotten how to work.
Right.
And so they're sending in a physical therapist to help me to work on core things and some other exercises that
right,
I wouldn't have
you.
Thought mattered.
Right.
You know, like even when I would go upstairs, I have a couple of girls that I travel with sometimes, and we stayed at this place that had this big line of stairs, and one of the girls goes, do you realize you're throwing your leg out to the side and then swinging it up? Well, because of how my body was shaped,
yeah.
I wasn't lifting my leg in front of me and setting it on the stair.
Right.
And so you develop survival modes and yeah. ways to do things to adjust to the complication you're in. And I don't care if it's physically, I don't care if it's financially, we all adjust, don't
yes,
we?
You
I mean,
do.
We do. We all adjust to, yep. to how we make ourselves work with things. And so
it's now they're coping mechanisms.
It is coping mechanisms.
Yes.
And so now they're having me lift, you know, like jogging, you know, uh-huh. but not mm-hmm. jogging, but sort of the motion of it, but where I'm lifting my leg up in front, and it's so foreign to me. Because I'm used to
having to swing.
Well, I used to have a belly that hanged down to my knees.
Right.
And so I'd swing that leg out over there to get around the belly to get up on the stair.
Right.
Talk about gut level real.
What you're saying is just true. People develop compensation techniques
yes.
for
yeah.
whatever is happening in their life.
Yeah.
And it's almost like until you're in a room, your friend pointed this out to you, you didn't realize you were even doing it. Until you're in a room with other people who are doing things differently. And either they point it out or you look at how they're doing something and all of a sudden you mm-hmm. go, I'm doing this in a unique way that nobody else is doing it. And
right.
you don't even realize that you've developed a compensation. I know in my life there have been times when somebody will say, you realize this is different than most people do it. Or that's, or you'll tell a story and you think this is a normal story and you're laughing and they're looking at you like, this isn't funny. This is not a funny story. You're like, oh. Maybe that's an indication of dysfunction or some kind of compensation. But yes, people don't realize that they're even yeah. doing it. So you're talking about this. And I'm listening going, I recognize doing
we
that
do
in my life. And I know every
yes.
viewer out there recognizes
yeah.
this in
we
their life.
We do it mentally.
Yeah.
People who have, my sister has hearing issues. And she'll just go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you know that she's not understanding a thing that you said. But she's learned to compensate for that. And then now she's got hearing aids and she can hear. And so then she's more with the conversation. But I didn't realize I was doing that too. Like I came out to the pony farm and I'm having to use a walker or a wheelchair. Yep. Or
and you were on oxygen too.
And oxygen that they carried around. I felt like I was carrying around a little puppy dog all the time with the little tank. And I'm not doing that anymore. In fact, just recently, I have coughed 24/7 for years. Mm-hmm. Like asthmatic kind of.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I don't know what the syndrome's called. It sounds like Pickwickadilly syndrome to me, but it's where you don't have enough lung room in the body cavity to expand
properly.
And so I'm getting more expansion room, which is wonderful. And so, you know, I've come down off the oxygen. I still have it in case I need it at home. And even this physical therapist I was talking to you about, which has just started happening in the last few weeks, usually if I would get up and walk around, they have me walk 100 feet at a time, my oxygen stats would go down into the 80s, which is not good. You know, that means you could have a stroke or heart attack or something like that, just simple, you know.
Yeah.
And so now when I'm up and around, they make me wear that little monitor on my finger. He goes, "You feeling okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Your oxygen stats are 100. And I mean, they're having me, while I'm walking, they're having me talk or sing.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to do that in forever.
So how long ago did all of this start when you were having the surgery and everything like that?
That was probably back in 2005.
So it's been a hot minute.
It's been a hot mess minute, yeah. I'm 63. If I went back in my 20s, I was starting to gain weight back then, bad eating habits and things. And I believe, my personal opinion, is some of the foods that I was eating put me in a state of disease.
Yeah.
And so my actions had repercussions.
Right.
And then I think it just got out of control because I'm a real sensitive kind of person, and the chemicals and things I don't deal well with.
Right.
And it just progressively got worse. And if I could have dealt with it when I weighed 200 pounds or 195 and just had to lose 40 pounds, maybe, it would have been a lot better thing. When you get up to where you're 400 and some odd pounds, I can remember when one kid was born, I weighed this much, and I don't blame my kids for it, you know, and then the next kid was this, and I know you guys do it too, that, okay, on this picture, I weighed about 195, and on this picture, I was weighing 250, you know, and on this picture, I remember it was the day I went over the 300-pound mark, and I'd gone to see my in-laws, and I was just mortified. And so I'm getting really loose, floppy clothes to wear so that you could try and hide it, you know. But everything was indicated by a number. And the larger the numbers got, the more the rescue situation or recovery situation seemed impossible to me.
Right.
I talk to people now a lot about having a route of escape from a situation you've been in. You know, how do you get from this point back to where things are supposed to be? How do you get spiritually from one place when you're out of control and you've, say, taken a field trip in life, but you need to get back to focus to where you were? When you get to where I was, it seemed like an impossibility to be able to come back this.
Right.
And I'd always tell God, "I'm sorry, I'm such a failure. I'm sorry, I'm such a waste of your time," you know, things like that. And, and you're not.
So then that means you've basically lived 15 years, though, past what the doctors said you would even live.
Right.
And then you have lost how much so far now?
I'm right at the 230-pound mark.
That's incredible. That's a feat in itself. And what people, I think, need to understand, too, is that it has been over 15 years. This didn't happen overnight. This was a process, like you're saying, oh, that was when I weighed this much. That was when I weighed that much. And then you kept going up, and then you got really sick. And then now you're trying to fix it, but nothing ever happens overnight.
No.
And people need to know that. Things take time.
Yeah.
Did you ever reach that point where you felt you would never come back, ever?
Oh, sure.
How did you get past that to where you are now? At what point did you realize that you can make it back, or you had to try? What encouraged all that or inspired that?
I think that there was a point in time that I realized that the things I was eating was poison. And somebody said to me, and it was just a simple thought, what if you would think about these foods being poison to you and not a treat?
Right.
You know, and I didn't realize that I was an addict to sugar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a big one for me. And then the chemicals that are in food now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was eating processed foods. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I had a dream one night, and I was just like, God, what do I do? What do I do? I'm such a failure. you know, and you beat yourself up, and especially when the numbers are going up and you can see it on the scale, mm-hmm. and your clothes aren't fitting. And fortunately, I had a husband who just adored me, which I was very grateful for, whether I was smaller or larger, you know, 40 years plus. And there came a point when you just have to realize, okay, we were recognizing that the processed foods were a problem.
Right.
And then I started weaning off of some of those things. But when you're an addict, you know what? I used to tell people, I like food. I like groceries. Well, I like food now too, but I've learned to eat better satiating foods.
Right.
Healthier foods. And it's really far more satisfying mm-hmm. to me. And I didn't realize it, but it's breaking old patterns of habit. Mm-hmm. And listening. But one night in a dream, I felt like the Lord said, why don't you eat what I made?
Yeah.
Oh, I like
and
that.
I'm like, wow, that's a novel idea. Like green beans, corn, potatoes, you know, not the processed food. And the more I ate, the more I wanted. And the more I had to have it. And so then when I started eating some of the other things, tasted bland, blah, you know, and mm-hmm. but then I learned to develop a taste for some of those things. Now, do I still fight wanting processed foods? Mm-hmm. It's like doing little things, giving up sodas,
right.
and giving up diet sodas, and,
yeah.
and starting to exchange some good habits for bad habits, and then you'd see a little bit of fruit from it. And it seems like whenever you do the right thing, whether it's in the Word,
yeah.
or whether it's, you know, the way you're eating or a habit, it started correcting itself, and I would notice a difference. I used to gain 20 pounds in a day just from fluid, 20 pounds. And that fluid retention, it would just bloat up.
Right.
Well, when I quit eating the chemical things that my body was fighting, then when you started seeing some of the weight loss that was water weight.
Right.
You know, and I would tell a doctor, I said, no, you don't understand. This is really fluid. And this one guy was an old Army doctor, and he goes, that is nothing but fat adipose tissue. And I left in tears. And unfortunately, they don't know how to help you
find out
what's wrong and help you address the root
right.
system of the problem that you're dealing with.
Very
so
true.
Then when you start correcting all of that, I could maybe be okay for one day, just get through 24 hours. And then it just got to the point that, you know, then another couple of days would come by, and then a week would go by, and then a few weeks would go by. And then pretty soon the time elements come up where 50 pounds were gone or 75 mm-hmm. pounds were gone. But it was not an overnight process.
No, it was not an overnight no. process. And we are quickly running out of time, and I also want to make sure that it gets said, too, you are very much a part of our Skywatch ministry team. You pray for us. You're there for us. You are a Whispering Ponies lover and supporter. And we want to make sure that we thank you for that too on air, because without your prayers and your support of everything that we do and speaking life over our family, mm-hmm. it's been huge for us. Mm-hmm. It truly
she
has been.
She has prayed us through so many scenarios. My
Absolutely.
Brain is just like...
Absolutely. Let's take the last couple of minutes and really focus on how has God used all of that in the past and brought you out of all of this sickness and the things that you've been having to go through. How is he then using that to now use you in the ministry? Because I know that you travel with the girls and you get to go to conferences and speak to people and minister to them. What has that kind of been like?
I think the first thing is I felt like the Lord said, I you know, I always say, I want to be used by you. You know, if you can
right.
use anybody, use me. I know I'm an ordinary person, but help me to do extraordinary things for
right.
you. And when you're ordinary, you can do extraordinary things for him. And I ask him to be on the front line. Chuck used to say, hey, you asked for this. You ought to be right out there where everything's going on. But I want to be in the know. You know,
right.
I want to know. But I felt like God asked me, can you serve me when you're at your weakest?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I'll do that. Well, there's times I've had to have people carry my oxygen bottle. If I've been with the girls, they're taking a walker in and out for me. I mean, carrying my suitcases, I've not had strength.
Right.
And it's getting better, but I'm not where I need to be yet. But it's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought, I don't want to use any weakness that I have as an excuse.
Right, as a crutch.
As a crutch. Mm-hmm. Or the ability to say, oh, I can't do this because I might be embarrassed if I'm overweight to be in front of somebody.
Right.
Or I might be this, or I might be that, or I'm too weak, or I can't get up this, and I could, a million of them.
Right.
But I felt like the Lord said, like with Jonah, if I give you something one day and I take it away the next, who are you to be mad when I have souls that need to be saved?
Right.
And so I felt like the Lord said, you know, you have something one day and you're healthy and then you're not the next. But who are you to be mad when I have souls that need to be saved? Do you believe that I can use you to do this? And so there are times that my weight has been an extreme offense to some people. Mm-hmm. And you go through bullying and that's just reality. But then there's also times that I feel like I've been able to be incognito and be able to pray for whether it's other men and women in situations. It's like Mama Debbie, your granny, getting a big old hug, you know, and just smush in, get a little. And so what I keep telling God is I'll keep moving forward. In Romans, in the Message version, one day I was reading, it said, the old life isn't worth one red cent. Bury it and move on. And that there's things adventurously ahead waiting for you. Mm-hmm. People to see, things to do, and the things of the Father. That got ingrained in me. And I said, I like adventures. I want to be able to be around people. If it's one person, let me help them back into an environment that allows them to grow, see what the potential that God's had in them raised up. There's been people around me that did that for me.
Yeah.
They invested in me. Back when I'd go, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and they're going, oh, it's you, Debbie. Let's pray, you know. But they prayed me through. And I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I could be. But if I can do one thing at a time, then God says what I help make happen for someone else, he'll make happen for me.
Well, in our weakness, he will be made known strong.
Yes, yes.
That, I think, is a huge part of what you're saying is that when we are weak, he is strong. That's when his power then is shown more brightly. Mm-hmm. This is not us.
Right.
This does not come comfortable for some of us.
Yeah.
This is work. But we do it because we know that God has called us to do this ministry, to help you guys, to encourage you at home, because that's what this is about. This is why we have wonderful, amazing guests come on the show and tell you part of their story, because maybe you identify with their story. Yeah. Maybe you need to hear that, hey, yeah, you may have a 2% chance, but guess what? A 2% chance does not mean that I don't have a chance.
Right, right.
Use this time. God has called you. Do it. It doesn't mean that you're going to make it to the goal line today. You just have to take those little bites like you've done. It's a journey. But God has called you. You need to answer that call, no matter what it is, as small as you think it might be. Just praying for people. Pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your pastors. Pray for us. Please pray for us. We need so much prayer. But just those small things that you can do, God will bless it and he will bring the increase from that.
I think one of the important things to realize is that if you feel like you're a couch potato or you can't do anything, you physically can't do anything, you mentioned things earlier about praying for people, you can be an encouragement on the phone. You can start small, being an encouragement, doing small things for people. And then it can build from there.
Yes.
And I think that's the important thing.
I would agree with that. And of course, it's the dreaded time of the day where we are completely out of time. But Debbie, we will definitely have you back on the show. This was so much fun to have you here and be a part of this with us.
You know, before we dismiss, I'd really like to pray.
Absolutely.
Because it was listening to a radio station that somebody caught my attention. I pulled into a parking lot. And it was a day that changed my life. And so I want to pray for that person that felt as hopeless as I did that day.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is
Absolutely.
That all right?
Absolutely. Of course.
Father, I just want to lift up that one that is hanging by a thread. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know that you've got a rope there that's ready to just nab them up and save them where they're not going to drown. Father, I pray that today you would instill hope and that you would instill faith and you would instill joy, and then you would instill in them the possibilities of going from where they're at and having a route of escape to get back to being under your wing, just with your presence. Because you said that when we're in your presence, that you change us mm-hmm. in the presence of a holy God.
Yes.
So, Father, can today be a marked moment of change in time for someone yes. that they can reach out to you one more time, even though they've done it 100 times already, one more time, and that this would be the time, a point of change, a point of heading into their destiny and their purpose that you've called them to mm-hmm. in all kinds of things, in recovery of health, in recovery of finances, in recovery of all the clustered mess that they could be in right now, that today that they'd be instilled with hope. And we pray it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And on that note, I hope you have a blessed week. Yeah. Go with God. He's got you. Thank you for joining us at the Simply His Coffee Shop, and we'll see you next week. So, Allie, winter is finally coming to an end. I'm so excited. This winter has been just so crazy with all the sickness, and the weather has been super crazy.
Yeah, so excited. I'm so glad to see spring come. Oh, can't wait to get my garden going. I love that the landscape is turning green.
Yes.
I'm just so excited that it's spring. When you're through Christmas, I just always want to
fast forward. Because the bad weather usually happens right after that. Most of the United States has had some pretty crazy weather times, so I'm super excited for this spring. But we have an incredible package for you guys today. Our shirts, we're launching a brand new shirt, and oh my goodness, I am in love with these shirts. No joke. I would be wearing one right now, but they're still on the press, so I don't have my prototype yet, but when I do, I don't think I'll take it off all spring. It is a white Bella Canvas t-shirt, and it's going to have a teal foil Simply His logo on it, and I am so excited. They are just going to be so beautiful.
They are beautiful.
And you're also going to be offering a brand new tea. It is the Mango Tango Tea.
It's delicious. It's light and fruity.
It is.
It's great for spring. You can drink it hot or cold, sweetened or unsweetened. It's just a great tea.
It truly is. You'll enjoy that one, honestly, all year round. And we're also going to be featuring Allie's green mug.
Yay, my green mug. Yes.
We'll also be featuring Sunrise at the Ranch Coffee, which is a breakfast blend for our spring package that we're hoping that you'll enjoy. And it's just in time for Mother's Day.
Yes. And the Sunrise on the Ranch is a play on words, S-O-N,
yep.
Rise on the Ranch. And it is a great Mother's Day present.
It is. It will make a great gift for all the mothers in your life, or get it for yourself and tell your husband, hey, I already bought myself my Mother's Day gift. So, you know, you can do that too.
Yeah. And don't forget that our coffees and teas are organically grown.
Yes, very much so. You want to make sure that you get good, clean coffee and tea, because those are some of the most contaminated drinks that you can actually get. It will retail for $49 plus shipping and handling. That's a great deal with everything that's coming in this offer. So you need to head over to SkyWatch TV and get your order placed. Buy yours today.